Here's Skip Heitzig to make you an offer you can't or maybe shouldn't refuse.
Imagine being part of a company that could promise and deliver to revolutionize individuals, marriages, families, and whole cities. And imagine being part of a corporation whose product is so powerful that it works in every conceivable culture. And imagine being part of a company whose company manual has been translated into every conceivable language and is still the best-selling book in the world. Well, that's the company you're a part of.
Make the connection.
Depending on what sort of family you came from, there's more to being a part of it than just sharing the last name. In my family, you were responsible for chores and other duties to help everything run smoothly. There are even some cases where being a part of a family means being involved in the family business. That's certainly the case with God. And today here on The Connection, Skip Heitzig will explain exactly what our responsibilities are in the family business of God. But before we begin, if you're curious about the role the occult is playing in today's culture, pay attention to the following details.
If you have children, you have challenges. That is not breaking news. And you know that it's only getting tougher to shepherd your flock. Families are under attack as media multiplies. Their messages are slick and sick.
A lot of it is very occultic, and a lot of it is extremely addictive.
Vampires leer from billboards and leap from movie screens and network shows. Games invite violent and occultic second lives. Boundaries are hard to draw, and reality is difficult to define when the web entangles teens with fantasy worlds and false identities. Shattered is a new full-length video documentary hosted by Skip Heitzig.
Is your teen choosing dark entertainment? Are you seeing a disturbing trend in your family that you aren't sure how to deal with?
Shattered puts the bright light of truth on the dark world of music, media, and gaming. Available at shatteredthedvd.com or call 1-800-922-1888. Shattered. Available now from Connection Communications.
You know, God's family business has been around for generations, and you have the privilege of being a part of it. To find out what that business is and what role you play in it, stay right where you are, here on The Connection.
And make the connection.
Grab your Bibles and open them to Philippians chapter 1 and Acts chapter 16. And as you find your places, we'll join Skip Heitzig as he begins with a story about family.
In the 1970s, around 1972, an author by the name of Mario Puzo put a book that he wrote into a film. It was called The Godfather. And The Godfather is a story about a family. And the main character is a man by the name of Vito Corleone, or as they called him in the movie, Don Corleone. He's the head, the Don of the family. And Don Corleone was the head of this mafia family in New York City that fought with other families. And it's interesting that this guy, though a killer, was all about the family. In fact, at one point in the film, he says to another character, he asks him, do you spend time with your family? Or as he would say it,
do you spend time with your family?
And then he said,
because any man that doesn't spend time with his family can never really be a man.
Well, Don Corleone had a family business. It was a crime business. But I discovered something. I came across a book by a professor named William O'Hara. And the name of his book is Centuries of Success. And he says that the oldest businesses in the world are family businesses. The oldest corporations. He writes this: before the multinational corporation, there was the family business. Before the Industrial Revolution, there was the family business. Before the Enlightenment of Greece and the Empire of Rome, there was the family business. And he reveals that several companies that are 225 years and older, that's what he highlights in the book. And he shows that the oldest company in the world, the oldest family business, is the Kango Gumi Corporation in Japan. It's 1,400 years old. And 1,400 years ago, they started building temples, and they passed on this business in the family. So from 576 till now, it's been in the family. It's the oldest business on earth. Now, in our country, the United States, the oldest business, the oldest one, is a family business back in Virginia. It's the Shirley Tobacco Plantation. It's owned and run by the Hill family. And since 1600s, it has been owned and operated as a family business. So the Corleones have the crime business. That's their family business. The Shotoku family in Japan, they have their family business. They build temples. And that Hill family back in Virginia run the tobacco plantation. But imagine being part of a company that could promise and deliver to revolutionize individuals, marriages, families, and whole cities. And imagine being part of a corporation whose product is so powerful that it works in every conceivable culture. And imagine being part of a company whose company manual has been translated into every conceivable language and is still the best-selling book in the world. Well, that's the company you're a part of. That's the business you and I are a part of. It's the most exciting thing. Now, you know we're part of a spiritual family. But do you know that God and His Son have a business? It's the salvation business. It's the rescue business. Jesus said, I've come to seek and save that which is lost. That's His business, His purpose. I have a friend who is a director, a crusade director for the Billy Graham organization. He was on an airplane and happened to sit next to Tom Cruise. And, you know, celebrities don't really want to engage in long conversations with people. It might be a hello, and then they want to be off to themselves for understandable reasons. They get the limelight all the time. Well, Tom Cruise asked my friend, well, what do you do for a living? So my friend thinks really quickly and creatively. He goes, I'm in the security business. Well, every celebrity is interested in having the best security around them. So Tom Cruise leaned in and goes, really? Tell me about that. So for the next while, as long as he could speak, my friend told him all about the security that is found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It was just a fascinating conversation, the family business. Well, that's what Jesus was speaking about. When as a young child, he said to his mother, don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? Well, let's look at what ours is. And in Philippians chapter 1, I want you to look at a word in verse 5. We'll get to the rest of the words, but look at a word in verse 5. And it's the word fellowship. Paul is thankful, he says here, for your fellowship. Now, that's because the Greek word is koinonia, and typically it's translated fellowship. That doesn't capture the idea. The New International Version captures the idea of what Paul is saying. They translate it this way: I'm thankful for your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. That's how Paul sees it. We are partners together with God. Okay. Our business has a product, and that is mentioned also in verse 5, the gospel. For your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. You know what the gospel is, right? It's the message of the good news that Jesus left heaven, came to earth, lived the perfect life, died for our sins, rose again from the dead so that people could be saved. That's the gospel. That's the product. And it was that message that changed Paul's life on the Damascus Road. It was that product that changed the life of a woman named Lydia in Philippi. And later on, a Philippian jailer. So that Paul is saying, you, Lydia, you, Philippian jailer, and all of you in the church at Philippi, we're partners. We're partners, and we're partners with God. So what we want to do today here and in Acts 16 is pretty simple. We want to take a look backward. We want to take a look inward. And we want to take a look forward, because that's what Paul does. He looks backward when the partnership began at Philippi. He looks inward to the individual hearts and lives of the Philippian believers, where this partnership deepens and blossoms. And then he looks forward into this partnership spreading from where it's at. So let's look backwards in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Actually, let's just start at the beginning. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the senior partners. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for, now notice this, he's from the south, request from you all with joy for your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Okay, Paul is obviously reminiscing, right? He's looking back. Well, he's in a Roman jail when he writes this, so he's got a lot of time to think and to look back. And he does. He looks back and he says, to the first day. The partnership in the gospel from the first day. What is he talking about? The first day of what? The first day the gospel through Paul came to Philippi. And that's what he's reminiscing about. Now, here's what's interesting to me. When Paul reminisces and thinks back to the gospel first coming to Philippi, he says, you know, the emotions that I have when I think about that is I'm so thankful and I am so filled with joy. That's the language he uses. Now, if you know anything about what happened in Philippi, that's strange to you as well. Because truth be told, Philippi was a pain all the way around. First of all, Paul didn't want to go there, right? He wanted to go south to Asia Minor. The Holy Spirit shut that door. He tried to go north toward the Black Sea. He was forbidden to do that. He gets a vision one night. A man says, come over to Macedonia and help us. Wakes up the next day. Hey, guys, guess where we're going? Macedonia. Now they go. They go to Philippi. And he's thinking back to those first days. He goes, oh, I have such joy and thankfulness. Okay, hold that thought. Let's see what happened. Turn with me to Acts chapter 16. Now, as you're turning there, let me insert this footnote. There's a 10-year gap between the event in Acts 16 and the letter written to that church in Philippi. It's been 10 years, and he's reminiscing. Verse 11, Acts 16. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, or as the ancients called it, Samothracia. And the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city in that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and we spoke, now watch this, to the women who met there. Okay, stop. Paul gets to Philippi. He didn't even find a synagogue. Usually he goes right to the synagogue. There's not one in that city. How do I know that? Because there's Jewish regulatory law that says if you don't have 10 Jewish male heads of households, you have to have at least 10, you can't start a synagogue. So if you got 9 of them and a whole bunch of other people, but not 10 Jewish male heads of household, you can't start a synagogue. So the Jews, in lieu of a synagogue, would meet by a river, because a river provided water, what they call living water. It runs so that they could wash their hands and go through the ceremonial ablutions and pray to God out in the open. So Paul didn't want to go to Philippi. He goes there because the vision says go. He sees a man in a vision. He probably gets to Philippi hoping to find the man he sees in the vision. There aren't any. There's a few women who meet at a river. So he's going, okay, I'll flow with it. But look what happens. Something good. Verse 14. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira. So she's a businesswoman who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, then come to my house and stay. And so she persuaded us. So first convert, wonderful, a businesswoman named Lydia. However, things go downhill quickly after that. There's another girl who follows the team. It's in the next few verses. I won't read them. I'll just tell you the story. She's demon-possessed. And Paul is really annoyed with her. So that finally Paul turns and casts the demon out, which is good news for her. This demon-possessed girl gets free of the demon. However, the slave owners who are using her now have lost their trade, their fortune-telling trade. And they're very angry. Causes a riot. Verse 22. Then the multitude rose up together against them. The magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. This is Paul and Silas getting beat up. And when they laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. Now, he's in the Philippian jail. Verse 25, he prays and sings at midnight. Eventually, the Philippian jailer gets saved, but he goes to a town he doesn't want to go to. One woman is there who gets saved. Another woman hassles him. He casts the demon out. That puts him in a place where they beat him up publicly and throw him in jail. So don't you find it a little odd that he goes, you know, when I think back to the gospel first coming to Philippi, I'm so joyful and so thankful. You're thinking, you are? I mean, it would make more sense if you were to say, every time I think about Philippi, I get sick to my stomach. But he doesn't. Now, here's why I'm showing you this. Go back to Philippians chapter 1. Let's see what he is thankful for as he reminisces. And you quickly discover as you read it that he's thankful for what the gospel produced. Verse 5, the partnership in the gospel. In other words, here's what I'm thankful for. The family gets extended. When I think back, I think of Lydia that day. And I think back of that young girl who had a demon that is now free. And I think back to the Philippian jailer and his family who got saved and baptized. Now here's my point. Paul's joy was directly proportional to the growth of the family business. Paul's joy is directly proportional to the growth of the family business. He didn't look back and remember all the bad stuff. He remembers all the good stuff. The gospel spread. It's the same thought in verse 12 of Philippians 1. Start in verse 12. Now, Paul is writing from another prison, this time in Rome. You know, I've often thought whenever Paul went to a town, he probably asked the first question is, show me where the jail is. I just want to know where I'm going to spend the night. Because he always ended up in these places. Verse 12. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which have happened to me, the arrest, the imprisonment in Rome, have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now, what would happen to our lives if we decided to view everything in our past through the lens of the Father's business. See, I could stop right here in my ministry and I could look backwards and I could reminisce and I could talk about sacrifices that were made and hardships that were endured and tears that were shed. But you know what? If I just decide, let's take me out of the picture and think about the Father's business. Well, I think about people getting saved and people growing in Christ and churches being started around the country. And how can you not have anything but joy and thankfulness because the family business is extended? So joy, Paul's joy is directly proportional to the growth of the family business. Okay. We're Christians in this room, most of us. When you came to Christ, when you received Christ, you became part of the family. You have a relationship with God. But, or should I say and, you don't just have a relationship with God, you are in a partnership with God. Now here's the problem. I have discovered there's a whole lot of people that want to join the family but not be involved in the family business. But according to Paul, you're in the family the day you get saved, and from that first day, a partnership begins. Now, why is it that some people want to be in the family and not be in part of the family business? Well, I think in part, in our minds, we can set up a false dichotomy. We can set up sort of a philosophical dualism. You know, we categorize life. We have our sacred life and we have our secular life. We have our worship of God at church and other Christians, and we have our secular life. We make a false dichotomy, a false division. So we might think, well, Sunday's God's day. But now Monday through Friday, that belongs to the company. And Saturday, that's all mine. Here's the truth. The family of God and the family business takes precedence and invades every other area of life. Everything. Everything from your marriage to your kids to your business, everything. I must be, Jesus said, about my Father's business. And that partnership begins, according again to verse 5, on the first day. So that's a look backward. That's a look backward. The partnership begins. Look at verse 6 now, Philippians chapter 1. Instead of looking back, Paul now looks and focuses inward into the hearts and lives of the believers in Philippi. And look what he says, being confident of this very thing. And by the way, how many times have you noticed that Paul, when he writes, is sure about something? You don't hear Paul saying, you know, I sort of think and feel like, you know, he'll say, I know this, or I'm confident in that. And let's see what he's confident in. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. Oftentimes, occupations, professions demand what's called continuing education. You're involved in a profession, you went to school, you graduated. However, your occupation, your profession might change. And so you, to keep up with the changes, you go to continuing ed. And some employers require that you do. And one thing about this family business we're in is God's all about continuing education. He's not just concerned with what we do with the gospel, he's concerned with what the gospel does in you.
You know, it's true that you can't choose who your family is unless you choose the family of God. It really is the only one you can actually choose to be a part of, and it's the best choice you'll ever make. We'll talk more about the family of God next time, but seeing as our time is rapidly running out, for a copy of today's message, just call us at 1-800-922-1888. We'll send you a copy on CD for just $6, or you can also order online at connectionradio.org. Plus, anything you share above that suggested donation will help this ministry to continue to provide you with these daily times in God's Word. In fact, your support makes it possible for us to share the good news of the Bible with people from Mongolia to Belize to your hometown. So please help us continue to do that as the year ends and as we prepare for a new one.
Whether it's a one-time donation or as a monthly supporter, find out more about how you can help the ministry of The Connection when you call 1-800-922-1888. Or you can also write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection.
We'll explore more about God's family business next time, so be sure to clear your schedules. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.